It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hello and welcome to the Pinken.com Norwich City podcast number 348. Let's hear it for the wind-up merchants. On the way, derby dominance, balls tampering and the art of being not fazed. My name is Michael Bailey and joining us here this Monday afternoon at Argent Towers, we have Head of News Ian Clark.
Hello.
And of course, Norwich City columnist too. We have data and innovation guru and I can't remember what else I was calling you. Pete Raven.
Hello, Michael.
Can't remember what the title was that you didn't like, but I've forgotten it now.
I don't know. I have many.
There were a few, yeah. Resplendent in your yellow and green tie with slightly off yellow shirt.
I thought after the weekend's results, it's only fair.
It's got a bit of sort of tartan in it. Maybe a bit of lambert in there.
My tire's got a bit of tartan in it, has it? Yeah. This is great for a podcast visual.
It's all right. Tony's on the pictures, and Tony's here too. Hello, Tony.
Hello.
There he is. He's busy taking a picture and asking for questions because we haven't done it in advance. So hopefully people reply. This will be a good experiment. It's currently 3:30, gobbled late, and we'll see if we get any questions in. Great stuff. Now, is everyone well? How are you both? And I know we're going to talk about the football, but how are you in general? I'm worried about your well-being. I'm concerned.
I'm extraordinarily well.
My throat's just about recovered from all the singing and the flare smoke. Gets yeah. Right in your lungs. God to hell.
It's caustic, isn't it? Is that the right word?
It looks good.
It does.
Sadly,
I'm not sure how people get them in the ground, but I like them.
For something illegal, it is good. It does look good. That's the thing. It does look good. Okay.
The first one, blue, which is weird.
It was an Ipswich one, wasn't it? I assumed when I looked up and saw a blue flare. I assumed the Ipswich fans are letting.
Called the snake bits. Unless someone's got a good throw, and why would they throw it when Norwich score as well?
It said green on the packet. Oh no! Yeah. Okay. Well, everyone seems well. I think that's all good. Tony, you well?
Getting there after yesterday. Yeah.
Oh. Are you recovering?
Yeah. From all the excitement.
It was very exciting. That's Tony's exciting voice. All right, just before we get stuck into the proper stuff, remember, you can get in touch with us here to share your thoughts and set the agenda. Just send an email to thepinken@archant.co.uk or get in touch via all the usual social media channels, be it the Pinken or our personal ones, of course. And make sure you don't miss a single podcast throughout this season. Bearing in mind, we've only got about a third of the season left now. By subscribing, you can find all the details at pinken.com/podcast. Now, before we get stuck into the football chat, we obviously like to set a quiz question. Why not? It is quiz time, thanks to the Football School, the amazing quiz book that Paddy found around the office the other week. Pete's on it. I mean, we like to set numbers, but Pete has taken ownership of the selection of the question. So we're going to set it, and then we'll answer it in the Pinken Norwich City podcast Extra Time, which you can watch as a video exclusively on the Pinken app. If you haven't got it already, just search Pinken in either Google Play or the App Store. Pete is ready. What's the question, Pete?
You'll have to let me know if you've had this one already, but it's from the Ouchie Injuries section.
Right.
How did Spain goalkeeper Santiago Canizares rupture a tendon in his foot to make him miss the 2002 World Cup? Was it A, a glass bottle of aftershave shattered when he dropped it? B, a dog bit him while he was out for a run? C, he poured boiling water on it while making a cup of tea? D, he got out of bed on the wrong side.
What, the wrong side?
Well, was it
on the side with the traps?
Well, Leroy Lisa, he did an injury whilst in bed, didn't he? I seem to remember.
So there's definitely a punchline there.
Stretching.
I have literally no idea. Which World Cup was it, did you say?
2002, Spain goalkeeper.
Probably means I should know. What do you reckon, Clark?
I think it's the aftershave one.
Yeah, I think that's probably what's going, although I quite like the tea idea. Pete, what do you reckon?
Shave is a bit too Dave Besant and jar of salad cream, isn't it?
What are you going for?
I know the answer.
Well done for not telling us. Okay, well, we'll come back to that in the Pinken podcast Extra Time. I'm sure you can't wait. Pete will definitely remember which quiz question it is. Okay, well, let's enough of all that stuff. I'm not going to swear. That was the week that was, is where we start. And we've got to start with the derby, of course. The 107th East Anglian derby. 106th Norwich win, was it? No. I digress. But if you're counting 103, so i.e. rubbing out the Texaco Cup and Simmer Cup and all that sort of stuff, say 103 in the major competitions, Norwich are now 41-40 up.
Kings of Anglia. Someone's got to change the title of their magazine.
We did make that joke last week, in fact, that then maybe they'd have to get rid of it. I don't think they will. I think let's give them that. They've not got much else to cling on to. How comfortable was it, Clarkie?
On the whole, looking back, it was comfortable. And there were times when they came at us and they could have troubled us a bit, but I just think they had no potency up front. So when you bear all that in mind, I think it was as comfortable as we could have hoped for.
Let's be honest, Luke Chambers did his little post-match interview. It's become something of a routine now, isn't it? They play the game, Ipswich lose, and Luke Chambers comes out with some absolute gold. I mean, you'd think he'd just go, you know what, boys, no, I don't want to do it this year. But no, he's still there, giving it six barrels. Besides him sort of tickling Ben Godfrey's genitalia during one of the squabbles as well, he obviously kept himself quite busy, did Luke Chambers. But, I mean, he felt... they were pulling the strings. Norwich couldn't get near them at times, he said. I mean, surely there was a degree of Norwich actually allowing that to happen. Only a degree. I don't think it's totally by plan, but certainly a degree of them allowing them to do that, especially as they've gone ahead after just 2 minutes.
Didn't we have the same issue with Gary Doherty always coming out after yet another defeat? So I guess he's the fool guy, isn't he? They had patches where you could see there was a team there that were playing well. I think Farker alluded to it in his post-match conference that sometimes the early goal doesn't always help. But I was never concerned. I'm usually nervous at a derby, so it's just that Will Keane is probably the worst striker I've ever seen. And now they've lost Freddie Sears for the rest of the season, which isn't great news for us, of them playing our rivals, because he's the only one that could have really done anything, the only one that's of any concern to me. But yeah, it was just fairly comfortable, and I guess Luke Chambers probably needs to watch it again and maybe change his comments.
Chambers, you know those, you see those sort of foreign leaders who, you know, everything is well in our country, we'll have nothing said about it, and it's a bit like that. You know, you almost couldn't see anything wrong with what they were doing, apart from the fact that 18 points, you know, 10 points adrift, 42 points behind us, heading for League One, and yet he seemed to be saying, well, we're doing all right.
I mean, we didn't really get into top gear, but we didn't need to, did we? It's, I think, that last, the first sort of 15 minutes of the second half, they really came out and I think went for it and then seemed to be exhausted from doing that, and that's when we really could have destroyed them, but 3's enough.
I think the telling point, I watched the game in full last night. Again, glutton for punishment, but I did. And it was telling, and I hadn't really twigged it at the time. Ipswich's two best chances probably were, the second one was when the ball fell to Luke Chambers actually in the box and he just sort of scuffed a shot. And there was another one where Alan Judge ran through and took a shot and it went wide. Within probably 20 seconds of both of those chances, Norwich scored their goals. And I think that kind of told them where it was like Norwich were warned and went, oh, hang on, we better go and score here. And I have no doubt, had Ipswich just scored, Norwich probably would have gone up the other end and scored again, which probably gives the indication of where Norwich were. You mentioned Freddie Sears. He's done his cruciate knee ligament. He's going to be out for 9 months, so it's not even the rest of this season. I mean, that's probably half of next year as well. And of course, Ipswich's final two games are away at Sheffield United and at home to Leeds, I think that's the way round it is off the top of my head. So whatever Norwich do, might be best to do it with two games to go, because they're probably not going to get any particular favours, it's fair to say. Good. Team of Pookie, good. Yeah, that's fair enough. That's well said. Someone said he was the difference between the two sides. I mean, I don't know if it was quite that stark, because I think there were differences all over the pitch, but the way he takes these goals, it's just relentless. He's so clinical and efficient. And a bit of a record for him, he broke Shefty Kukchi's record as an Ipswich striker for most goals scored in a single season in England by a Finnish striker. It was 20 was his record in 2004-05, I think, in the Championship. I think it was that season. Teemu's got 21.
Yeah, and I think, isn't he now the Norwich player to have got to 20 the quickest in a season? Beats the Chris Sutton 29 games, he's done it in 28. And I think I'm right in saying that all but three of his goals have been with his first touch.
I guess the caveat with Chris Sutton is that was against Premier League defence as opposed to the likes of Chambers. Yeah, he didn't really pop up and do a great deal during the game, and then when he's needed, one touch goal. That's what he's there for. It's just a striker that's in form.
And the movement, I thought, for the first goal, the way he peeled off and just created that little bit of space. And it wasn't a tapping, was it? You know, he was the wrong side of the goal, if you like, and put it across the keeper to get it in probably the only fairly small space that was available. So it was, you know, whatever level he was playing against, it was a great finish and just shows what he can do.
I have to say, he I remember at the start of the season saying, because, you know, we were a little bit indifferent as to what we were going to get, Teemu Pukki doesn't really look like a footballer, yet he affects games. He wins them or he scores. Moritz Leitner looks like a wonderful footballer, but what actually does he produce? Obviously, Moritz proved... I mean, to be honest, I love Moritz Leitner. That was just one of my concerns, and he put that to bed pretty straightforwardly. Teemu Pukki, the more I watch him play, the more he is so clearly an extremely talented footballer who has great quality, really great quality. It's not about him not looking like this or like that. His movement is wonderful. He is a cut above the championship because of how good he is, how efficient he is. You know, he had a couple of half chances as well on Sunday, but I just think an extraordinary piece of business by Norwich City and whoever convinced them to make that in the summer, because that has made a massive difference to this football club. Didn't really feel like a derby to me, if I'm honest. You know, the brilliant atmosphere, by the way, and we'll get onto that later, certainly in terms of before kickoff. But once the first goal had gone in and everything sort of happened, by the end of it, it was just a fantastic win in the bigger picture for Norwich City, especially given the results elsewhere over the weekend. Norwich are back, they're 2 points clear at the top, they're 5 points clear of third, and we've got 15 games to go.
It's that third spot you've got to concentrate on, isn't it? I mean, I don't matter if we finish first or second, you both start Premier League on 0 points, so if we can start pulling away from third, that'd be brilliant. Like you said, the results pretty much went our way the weekend. Even Leeds' 101st minute equaliser wasn't terrible news, because it's against Borough, who are coming up the rails. And like you said, the atmosphere, I think for me, that was the... In terms of it wasn't as an intense derby as we used to, and it was sort of second half, you asked, yeah, this is just another 3 points in the grand scheme of things. It wasn't that sort of... The atmosphere is there, but only by the home fans. The away fans were fairly terrible, which early goal doesn't help. Mm. But when they paraded their little sort of A4 banner stuck together, something about criminals and fans, it was a bit... And then ours came out. Yeah, that's the golfing class again.
All I'll say on that is, if you don't create criminal damage, you probably won't be treated like criminals. And I think they have to, they can't just separate the two instances, as far as I'm concerned. And plus, Norwich fans had to deal with the same at Portman Road earlier in the season. So that's just basically the way it is. Sorry about that. Middlesbrough and West Brom both got games in hand. It's a really fascinating picture. Now, I would love, and we'll talk about the games coming up, but I would love for Norwich to take themselves out of it, to really motor on, because it's tight behind them, you know. But as I said, Borough, West Brom, games in hand, two very good sides for this level who aren't going to drop many points. And we don't really know where Leeds are. Heaven forbid I should talk about Leeds. And Sheffield United, who, you know, are really good at what they do. I don't really feel like I can say anything more than that. They're really good at what they do.
They'll be really bruised by Friday night, don't they? 3-0 up with 8 minutes to go. I think, you know, we're probably all sitting at home.
Only 8 minutes to go? Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
We're all sitting at home probably thinking, right, that's it. They've got an easy win. You know, stuff you, Villa. And then, you know, I looked at my phone. It was 3-2 with, you know, on 90 plus 3. And I thought, oh, you know, Villa gave a bit of a crack. And then I saw someone's, yes, on Twitter. And then I guessed what happened. And then I refreshed and there it was. So, you know, we know it's like the other way against Forest when we scored three late goals to get a point, and, you know, that may well cause them some damage, which hopefully it will.
And of course, Leeds, Calvin Phillips, they, according to him, they are the best side in the Championship. So we'll see how they cope with their current situation at the moment. I think they've got Swansea coming to town in midweek, which you'd imagine, Leeds being Leeds at home, they'll win that game. They've then got the weekend off, I think, because of the FA Cup, whoever they're supposed to be playing, I don't know off the top of my head, is still in the FA Cup. So that will be an interesting dynamic if they have a game in hand as well. Okay, gongs of the weekend. Gongs of the week, in fact. Pete, your favourite part of the podcast, I know that. Do you want to start us off with our big Duncan Forbes hero of the week?
what, other than Buki, I guess. Zimmerman got man of the match, didn't he?
Yeah, but he was so good in the second. Two huge blocks in the second half, but also telling his teammates to sort it out.
He's a massive German brick wall, isn't he? Emmy, for me, just, again, ran the show and got targeted, which is always a sign of that the opposition is scared of you. To be honest, most of our team got targeted. That was the only way Ipswich knew how to play, and they admitted it before the game. But yeah, he was just everywhere, and obviously two assists, was it? Just class, isn't he?
He is most definitely that. I feel like I just continually sing his praises, but what a signing he has been. I mean, fair play, Ipswich were on the right side of roughing it all up probably until the last 10 minutes, and I think then they just got a bit carried away with themselves. But there we go. Yeah, Emmy, you get my note. How about you?
Oh, there were so many. I'm actually going to go for Mario Vrančić, who you knew it's a bit like sort of an episode from Casualty in the first half. Every time you looked, he'd been kicked in the face, he'd been, you know, kicked somewhere else. And obviously he kept hobbling on, didn't he? At one point he could hardly walk, but didn't wave to the bench immediately and say, I've got to come off. He was thinking, right, if I can just do something to keep going. So, you know, to me, that's just part of the spirit that everyone wants to play. And he's thinking to himself, if I'm injured and I'm out of the team here, you know, Lightning's to come back, you never know what McLean might do, Tetti's in the wings. So he just was so desperate to carry on, and I just think that was brilliant. So he's my hero.
Which is a good shout, because we probably need to worry a little bit about Mario now, don't we? And we'll talk a say about the games coming up, but the way he's rolled over his ankle, I'm guessing he's going to be out for weeks. Hopefully he won't need surgery, but it's hard to imagine him not being out for a few weeks, and that's a blow, because, you know, he's been superb, and as you said, he was so brave for the first goal, and the way he played at Elland Road was something else.
You didn't see him leaving Carrow Road with a special boot on then.
He did have a special boot. No, he did have a special boot, but what I will say is they now do kind of religiously put people in boots because they have to let the swelling go down and just not move it for a couple of days.
Yeah, I mean, Lightning must be close to a return now.
Yeah, so I think the last thing we heard from Daniel on Friday was that he is back in team training, but he has really been out since the end of November. He played the first half at Blackburn, but that was it. So he has really been out 2.5 months, and he needs to be able to trust in his fitness, I think was what Daniel said.
I mean, if McLean, if he doesn't get in now, when is he going to get in? So I guess it's probably be him. I mean, Tetti and Tribal, for me, doesn't really work.
No, but even though it was a pairing that worked so well last season.
Yeah, it's too not creative enough between them, are they? They're two similar types. I mean, Tetti did his best to get sent off yesterday, but some sort of weird flying, sliding challenge where he used his whole body, not just his feet. But you would assume McLean will come in, and then we can see what he can do.
You're certainly going to be desperate to play, for sure. I guess the days of wondering if Ben Godfrey is going to step in as a defensive midfielder are long gone with the way that man is playing. I did also want to nominate along come Norwich, the Barkley end. Norwich, they're called now. Is it Barkley and Norwich, isn't it? It's not Barkley and Project. Barkley and Norwich, and all the guys and girls involved in the everything that went on around Carrow Road. Because again, you can just sit down and think about last season. The atmosphere around the place, so different. I know everything's going well on the pitch, but this is chicken and egg, isn't it? Everything's helping the other.
Yeah, I parked here at Prospect House, and I intended to go on the march. And when I walked from the car towards the ground, I could hear the singing already. And when I got to Queen of Iceni, the noise was tremendous. So I'd sort of jumped on the end of the parade, and it was just great. So many, you know, everyone smiling, singing, shouting, and just a really great feeling. And then, you know, I sit top deck of the River End and looking down at the big flag and all the other flags that were flying was brilliant. And if you were sitting in the Ipswich end, Pete, you're right about there, you know, there's their postage stamp flag. They must have been sitting there thinking, you know, this club has now really got it together, that everything's going right, whereas for them, everything's going wrong. So it's brilliant.
And most Norwich fans will agree with that, Clarkie. Okay, Kevin Muscat, villain of the week. Well, we've already touched on Luke Chambers. Who possibly else could there be left to bring up as our villain? I'm racking my brains. Have we mentioned him yet? It's a bit like the football, really, isn't it? 42 minutes and no one's really noticed. Should we go in now, then? The meltdown of Paul Lambert. I mean, let's first of all say the guy had three memorable seasons here. Any Norwich fan who was here for those three seasons, it will live long in the memory. Nothing will tarnish that in terms of the ride it was. but bloody hell, he is enough trying.
I think to me, it's been reinforced today by hearing Alex Neil's comments, you know, ahead of Wednesday's game. Been really magnanimous, really, you know, really thankful for what Norwich have done. And when you compare that to the, you know, the idiotic behaviour yesterday, it reminded me a bit of a, you know, sort of like a sad uncle on a night out with a family, sort of, you know, where everything kicks off at a wedding and he's just sort of like, let me out, and he just can't let it go.
That's exactly what he was saying, though, wasn't it? The policeman was holding him off. He's like, no!
But yeah, of course he did brilliant here, but for so many people now, that's becoming more and more tarnished every time he waves his arms, opens his mouth, and you know, and when I watched his press conference back, you know, the aggression he had when somebody mentioned what Farquhar said about you know, lack of class, you know, he's just getting more and more angry all the time, isn't he?
I think a lot of people have picked up on his pre-match press conference as well. And I'm very conscious of what it was like in his first season here when he came up against Colchester at the Western Homes Community Stadium. And his control before that game and confidence and the way he knew what was going to wind everyone up. But he was so calm and assured and strong, and he walked out of that pitch, everyone was giving him in both barrels, he was waving, he didn't care, and he just had the mix bang on. The mix was completely different this time. You could see from the pre-match press conference that the cogs were whirring, it meant so much to him, but he didn't want to let on. I'm sure a lot of Norwich fans were like, well, yeah, but it's Paul Lambert, you know, we might get them going. And in the end, he kind of got them overgoing, if that's not in any way the right way of saying it, but because basically Will Keane shoved three people in the time it took for the first 2 minutes and Anel Hernandez to get Norwich ahead, and then obviously the fracas on the touchline, red card, we'll see what happens from here because he may well be charged. Christo Magala obviously also got a red card for being in the vicinity, I think. So just that, I can't really think of any way other to describe it than a kind of meltdown. I've never really seen a manager just lose the plot, really, in that way on the touchline. I've got to be honest, it all seemed a bit sad.
I mean, he's been found out, hasn't he? You speak to Villa fans, Blackburn fans and Stoke, and just none of them have got anything nice to say about him. He's now realised his stock is that low. Maybe he just got a bit concerned that the game wasn't going to be about him and had to do something, because I can't even remember him walking out onto the pitch, and there was no reference to him, so that probably upset him a bit that it wasn't about him. His comments post-match were bizarre, where he said, I don't even know who came in the technical area. Then he said that they sent off the wrong man. I was like, well, then you do know who it was. So he, and having watched it back again, it's just, he's clearly started it, but just for no reason. Was it deflecting it, trying to deflect away from the game and trying to stir things up? Who knows? Town fans seem to love it. He probably thought, I've got a chance to be a hero here, compared to Mick when he directed his anger towards his own fans. Yeah. But at least he achieved more than Lambert did. So he was now, what, worse record than Hurst before him. So I guess it just all got to him, didn't it? And we got into his head. Bless him.
It did. Well, the Daniel Farker's wink certainly made for a wonderful piece of TV editing. I mean, technical area, I hope you realise that was Norwich's technical area.
Was that a blink?
I think it was a wink, because Daniel winks a lot. Wink a lot. If you see the footage of him walking into the ground, he's quite winking three or four times, to be honest. So he does like a wink, Daniel, so to speak. So as I said, we'll see how that all pans out. Lambert, of course, watched the second half from the director's box. There's some cracking pictures we've got of that. And in fair play, what he did probably did stir it up, because I thought Ipswich were probably more robust in the second half. They were better. Well, yeah. But it probably did, you know, show that bit of an example. There's no doubt Paul Lambert arrived at Ipswich, I think, with the idea that Sunday would be the moment that he would get one over on the football club. The fact that he hasn't managed that in quite spectacular style is going to make the next few weeks fascinating how he deals with it, because I'm not really entirely sure where the motivation is. But there
it's interesting that the fans still seem to love him, and I guess even more after that. But at the end of the day, you're based on your judged on your results, and they're not going anywhere other than League One. And like he said, the success of Norwich was because he had Championship level players there. He hasn't got those at Ipswich,
which I thought was a weird comment because it kind of undermined his achievement, but there we go. Okay, our Simeon Jackson moment of the week. Well, just pick one, unless you've got, you know, a curveball you want to throw.
Well, you mentioned Farker's wink, and that's my moment. And when where we were, somebody said at half time, oh, you know, we've heard that Farker winked at the camera when it all kicked off, and then someone had some footage on the phone, and it was the highlight of half time. And when I then watched it later on, I've seen it loads of times. It was definitely a wink, and I just think it was brilliant. It just summed up the difference of the two guys. You know, Farker's like, I'm not going to get involved with this, and I'm just going to sort of say a little hello to the camera.
That is it. How about you, Pete?
I did like Marco's salute to the away. I know the goal was offside, but just walking past them, giving it the ears, was brilliant. Godfrey did something similar under the third goal, which was it's always nice to see.
I did see that. And you know what? Marco's taken a bit of stick today for flinging his arms around, which he does like doing. But I would say he probably did stand on his foot. I'm just going to say that. Shalabar probably did stand on his foot. Maybe let's not get too, you know, high and mighty, because he stood on his foot and these boots aren't made of a lot. I think it would hurt if someone stood on my foot. But, you know, that will probably just reiterate some of the Southern softy tags and other various words I'll get called by some of my friends in Yorkshire. Okay, mailbag, and I appreciate this was a last-ditch effort to try and get some mailbag. We will be bang on it next week when we have less maybe to concentrate on. But let's get this one in from Paul NCFC on Twitter. Thanks, Paul. How many points will do it, gents? Straight in. We are on. So I did do some sums on this. Norwich are on 60 points. They've broken the 60-point barrier after 31 games. 16 teams have done that in the last 10 seasons, of which 14 were promoted, one of which, including in those, was via the playoffs, which was West Ham. Also, one season, four teams did it. So, therefore, of course, only three could actually go up. Basically, it's looking good, is what that means for Norwich. No other team can break 60 points inside 31 games in the Championship this season, regardless of games in hand and things. So what's going to take it to do it?
I think we'll get 90. We've got 15 games to go, so that's 2 points per game, which I think we'll do. I think we'll average that 90 points and we'll go up.
So what was that? So 30 points.
30 more points, 15 games, an average of 2 points a game, which we'll get. And we'll be in the top two,
which is what I've said. 10 wins basically from 15 games, because that would be those 30 points in the same way. Likewise, I believe the record amount for a team to get in terms of points a miss out on automatic promotion is 89, which was Brighton two or three years ago, I think, not that long ago. So 90 points should guarantee it. What do you reckon, Pete?
I think it's just because the amount of teams that are involved, it's going to have to be quite high. 90 should do it though, shouldn't it? Might be a bit of a squeaky bum time, but yeah, 90 points.
It's funny you say that, because having gone through the last 10 years, the actual points total is quite low. The fact that Norwich are leading with 60 at this stage, there's normally teams like, I think Wolves had 74 points at this stage last season. It's quite a low tally. So as we've kind of said all season, no team has grabbed the division by the scruff of the neck. What I would say is that Norwich have lost twice since the opening four games of the season. They do have that opportunity to do that now, because they've been playing catch up for a little bit. We'll see. Oh, try not to get excited. Thanks for your mailbag. We'll do a proper job of it next week. Get the comments flowing, won't you please? So it is a big week ahead. This is the week ahead. We're on the road. Obviously, Dave and Paddy have got a well-earned day off today. I didn't know we got those, but there we go. I'm only joking. Me, Dave and Pad are on the road for 4 days in the northwest, because Norwich are at Preston on Wednesday and Bolton on Saturday. Gents, most important question, what should we do with our time?
Staying up there.
Yes.
Is the National Football Museum still in Preston, or has that moved? That's in Manchester now, is it? I don't know. Go to the lakes.
Blackpool.
Blackpool Tower. The illumination's probably switched off by now, aren't they? But
do some work.
All right. Well, you say that. We're going to try. We're the three of us are in, obviously, in the northwest during Valentine's Day. So I think that Thursday night, a special pinkin' show. Tony keeps pressing your agenda. What's your agenda, Tony?
Candles. Yeah, candles. Just lots of candles.
So a Valentine's pinkin' show with lots of Tony's desperate for candles. So that will all be good. Anyway, moving on. There are two games, and of course, as we know, we're coming up against Alec Neil on Wednesday night at Grimsby Preston. So that's the second success of Norwich City, former Norwich City manager. Bolton then on Saturday, which will mean, given its Declan Rose's 100th appearance for Preston on Wednesday, and Remy Matthews is currently playing for Bolton. Two former Norwich City Academy graduate goalkeepers in goal they're coming up against as well. What could possibly go wrong?
Plenty could go wrong. I'm not sure. Well, I think I'll take four from those two. I think Preston will be tough, so I'd be happy with a draw there. Then I think we can get a Bolton and turn them over. So if you return down the various roads ending with the A47 with 4 points, Michael, I'll be a happy man.
Yeah, 4 points. I mean, the Bolton game, if Norwich want to do what they're trying to do, they should probably go there and win. They were pretty awful against West Brom, I saw the other week. Preston's going to be a tricky game, but I don't know, it's a difficult one, isn't it? You know, if Alec Neil's fired up, if Declan Rudd's fired up, it's very different to the rest of the players there, and they've sort of had an average season, in truth, even though they have improved recently.
I was going to say, haven't they had recent pick-up in form? I think Paddy mentioned it last week, going there on a Wednesday night isn't going to be too inviting, but these are the games that you've got to win. Bolton are obviously fighting for their lives, but there's a reason they're down there, so I'd be happy with 4 points.
Do you trust them now, though? Would you trust them now to go to Preston on a Wednesday night? And you know what? You're going to play how you play, you'll do it.
Just because of how good their away form is. What's the record now? 14, is it?
13th. I think Leeds was a record-breaking 13, I think, off the top of my head.
Keep that going. I don't see why not. Mm. And this is what champions do.
One defeat all season away?
Yeah, Sheffield United, which came in the last minute of injury time.
28 points out of 60, so, you know, getting towards half the points on the road. So that sort of... you know, not losing and hanging in games when we've not been at our best just shows that this we've got that right recipe.
An impressive disregard for the law of averages, gentlemen. Well done. I always get a little bit twitchy. I'm not going to say anything more. In fact, I think we're going to wrap it up. Unless anyone else got anything else to say, any other business?
The songs are great, aren't they? You know, there's more and more songs coming this season. Obviously the What's the Score Lambert was a great one, but the Timu Pukki Baby is my current number one on my chart.
I mean, it's fair to say, I mean, I tell you what, we've just had a message from Jonathan Parker here. Less of a question, more of an advert. Genuine 2018-19 Luke Chambers fist pumps in perfect condition, as haven't been used this season. Reason for selling: not needed. Jonathan, don't kick them when they're down. That said, Clarkie, you have been fist pumping most of the week. You were all about it last week, and you're still going today.
I'm still going today, and if we win on Wednesday, I'll do it again.
That's the spirit. Top stuff. Right, in that case, unless you've got any other business, Pete?
More flares.
We can't say that, Pete. Yeah. We can't say that. Tony, got any other business?
I just thought of what you could do in the Northwest. Spy.
Oh no! Don't you do it. I'm sick of being called a c**t and a n**t. It's not happening. Love him.
You're going to beep that out, aren't you?
No, I'm not going to beep it out. I'm going to leave it there. You know what? Thick skin, I don't care. I'm an irrelevance, it's fine. In that case, I think we're done, aren't we? Thank God I've got a beeping button. Thanks to all of you for listening. Of course, it's a goodbye to our new Leeds fans, who I'm sure are listening, but also, of course, to Ian Clark. Good night, Ian.
Yeah, on the ball city, and cheerio.
Goodbye, Pete.
Farewell, Michael.
Probably. Goodbye, Tony.
Goodbye.
I love it. Remember pinken.com for all the latest Norwich City news, analysis, opinion and transfer insight. I think that's gone. Will Philip Heiser play soon? Maybe. We'll be back. You've forgotten about him, haven't you?
I've forgotten him. Yeah.
It. Love it. We'll be back with you each and every Monday, so make sure you get in touch and get involved. This is your podcast as much as it is ours. We'll answer that earlier quiz question, plus some other stuff. We'll talk about the goalkeepers. Why not? Preston and Bolton coming up. Over in the Pink and Norwich City podcast Extra Time, you can watch that video on the Pink and app. Make sure you download it if you haven't already. Until next time, here's to the calm after the storm, being relentless Norwich City points accumulation. Surely that's not much to ask for. And don't call them Shirley. God, have I actually written that? That's terrible. Goodbye.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.